Amen. Wonderful, wonderful song. Amen. Take your Bibles this evening. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 16. Next week, we'll be back in our series of Be Free in the book of Galatians, or Free Indeed. But tonight, the Lord has laid upon my heart this passage in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 24. We'll read that in just a moment. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I've completely recovered yet from the missions conference. I thought that after the mission conference ended, we'll have a nice week and everything, I'd be rejuvenated and revived and built back up. And I am spiritually, but quite not physically as yet, and still a little run down, a little tired. So we'll just do what the Lord has for us tonight. And all I ask tonight is that you just be obedient to the Heavenly Father. That's all. That's all I want you to do. Just be obedient to Him. And if you'll do that, amen, we'll have spiritual victory here at Sharon Baptist Church tonight. If you found your place, let's stand as I give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll read just one verse tonight, Matthew 16 and verse number 24. A familiar verse to many of you. The Bible said, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." I'll read it one more time. "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." I want to bring to you this message with God's enablement this evening on this thought of taking up your cross. Taking up your cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heart and our knee before You this evening. Father, we pray and ask, Father, that You would fill this preacher with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Father, I can't preach without Your power, Father. Father, I pray that You would fill me with the power from on high. I pray, Father, that Your people will be attentive to the preaching of Thy word. Lord, I pray that their hearts will be receptive to what we have to say to them today, as You have placed it upon my heart and given that burning desire to relay this to Your people tonight. Oh, Father, I pray that You would just touch lives and change lives, Father. May they apply these truths of this great passage to their own personal lives. And, oh, Father, I pray for those that are listening by the way of live streaming tonight, Father, that they'll turn everything off, put every other distraction away, Father, and they'd be attentive to the preaching and teaching of Thy word as well. And, Lord, we do pray and ask that there be someone here who doesn't know Jesus as their own personal Savior, that before it's eternally too late and they die and step off into eternity and that terrible place called hell, that while they're still breathing and while they're living, Father, they'd return to Christ, they'd repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for them on the cross of Calvary. Oh, Father, would You have Your will and way? And when we're done this evening, Father, we'll be careful to give You praise and honor and glory, for nobody deserves it any more than Thee. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In a book written by F.W. Dillstone, the book was entitled Jesus Christ and the Cross of Calvary. He tells about an experience which took place in London immediately following World War II. He toured the bombed out ruins of the city from all different directions. And he said that it was the most disheartening thing that he ever had seen until he went into a bombed out cathedral which had its roof blown completely away. As he entered into that cathedral through those blackened doors of that cathedral, the sun entered in at the direction that it turned its rays on a huge black cross hanging down over once was the pulpit of that church. He said it was the most magnificent sight as he looked at it. He experienced emotions that he had never felt ever before in all of his life. In fact, he said that he couldn't even put into words what he saw there that day. When he was able to gather his thoughts a few hours later, he said this, "I would to God that everyone could see the cross from the perspective of light." You see, the truth is that far too often we see the cross from the perspective of darkness. And what we need is to see it from the glorious light of heavenly sunshine. What I want to do this evening is to share three simple words with you about what it means to take up the cross, or should I say, take up your cross. And when Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow Me," I believe He had something very special in mind. And if you're taking notes tonight, I would encourage you to write these three words down as we think about taking up your cross and following him. Notice the first word I want you to write down this evening is this word. It's personal. Personal. Notice that these are personal words. Notice what Jesus Christ has said here in verse number 24. He said, if any man, think about when Jesus talked about carrying the cross of Jesus Christ, it was always a personal thing. It's not some abstract prescription to get you through some monetary difficulty in your life. Understand this, it's a way of life. So when you carry the cross of Jesus Christ, it's just not for a fleeting moment, but it's a way of life. Not only is it a way of life, but understand that this evening, it's also a principle for you and I to live by. It's a principle to live by. And this principle involves a couple of things. Number one, it involves self-denial. It involves self-sacrifice. And you can reject it or you can embrace it. But guess what, my friends? We cannot ignore it. You cannot be neutral. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you're here tonight and you make that decision to embrace the cross of Calvary, you're in for the most exciting ride of your lifetime. But if you reject the cross of Jesus Christ, you'll never know the blessings that you could have had in your life. And I thought it was very interesting that of all the people that were gathered around the cross of Jesus Christ there that day when he was crucified on Golgotha's hill, only one person embraced Jesus, only one person embraced the cross, and that was the thief on the one side of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that embraced it. He's the only one that understood really what was happening there that day. Everyone else made excuses why they did not want to put their faith and trust in Christ. In any case, we find that it's a personal cross which you alone can carry. Nobody else can carry the cross of Christ, of Jesus Christ for you, but only you yourself. No one can carry it for you because it's a personal cross. Jesus again said, if any man will come after me, if any man, woman, boy or girl, teenager here today would understand this, that to take up the cross of Christ means you personally have to do it. Grandmother can't carry it for you. Daddy can't carry it for you. Your children cannot carry it for you. It's a personal thing that you have to understand and do all by yourself. Well, not only is it a personal word, notice something else I find in this text. Very simply, it's a voluntary word. It's a voluntary word. Cross-bearing is a choice. And when Jesus Christ said to the rich man in Mark chapter number 10, sell all that you have and then take up your cross and follow me. Guess what? That rich man came to a line in the sand that day, and he was given a choice. He could keep his riches and go his way, or he could sell all that he had. He could follow Jesus Christ. He had to choose one way or another, but he couldn't do both. And my friend, you and I stand at a crossroads today. There's a choice that you and I have to make, whether we're going to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow Jesus Christ. And you can choose to go, or you can choose to stay. You can choose to carry the burden of the cross, or you can choose to reject it. But my friend, you cannot do both. You can't halfway carry the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. Everything about the Christian life is voluntary. It begins with salvation. Salvation is voluntary. God does not superimpose his salvation upon anybody. As a matter of fact, he has a desire and he's willing that nobody should perish, but all should come unto repentance. He has a desire for everyone to be saved. His love for us drives our need and desire that we ought to be saved. Salvation is voluntary. He doesn't impose it upon us. God gives us a free will choice to choose. Everything about our Christian life is voluntarily, beginning with salvation. But then secondly, separation is voluntary. We spoke about separation, the mark of a Christian life, last Wednesday, and I trust you heard that. If you were in another part of the building or weren't able to get there, I encourage you to go online and listen to that mark of Christianity, that mark of separation. You see, separation is a voluntary choice that you and I make. You see, separation really isn't the outward things that we do. Separation is the inward attitude of our heart that causes the outward manifestation of that inward work of God deep inside of our hearts. So you see, you could say, well, I don't drink beer. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't do drugs. I don't go out with people that do. That's a great thing. But you know what? It goes beyond that. It's what is the attitude of your heart, because Jesus can see and knows your heart. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that our heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And so, my friend, I would tell you this, that if you're relying on your heart to keep you and make you separate, my friend, we are desperately in trouble, understanding that our separation is voluntary, and it comes because of a complete obedience to God's word. It comes as we meditate upon God's word, as we study God's word, as we apply those truths of God's word to our life, and that inward man begins to grow and mature spiritually. Then those outward things begin to happen. Salvation is voluntary. Separation is voluntary. Understand this, that sanctification is voluntary. And for the simpleness of this message, I'm going to identify the definition of sanctification as growing to be more like Christ, or being set apart for Christ, growing mature in Jesus Christ. You understand that's a voluntary thing? That you don't, Jesus Christ does not impart spiritual wisdom just upon you. It comes when you voluntarily surrender yourself, deny yourself, pick up the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, there must be a choice in your life that you decide that I want to be sanctified, set apart from the world to be more like Jesus Christ. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a decision that has to be made, and when that decision is made, oftentimes it comes with trials and tribulations deep inside of our life. Sanctification is voluntary. Salvation is voluntary. Separation is voluntary. Understanding that all Christian life, everything is about voluntary. Notice lastly, our service is voluntary. Once we are saved and born again, once we begin to live a separated life from the world unto Jesus Christ, leading to our sanctification, that setting apart to God ought to lead to service. It's a natural course of things. It should happen. Salvation, separation, sanctification, service. And so understand this, that our Christian life is all about, everything is all about being a volunteer. And so I want to ask you today, have you surrendered yourself in this area of salvation? Have you volunteered yourself and said, okay, God, I understand that I'm a sinner, that you died on the cross of Calvary in order that I might experience a wonderful, marvelous life, that I might become a new creature in Jesus Christ. If you haven't ever done that, guess what? Separation is not even on the docket. Sanctification is not even there for you. Service is not even there, understanding that salvation is the beginning part of it. I want to tell you something about the Christian life. Just like the military today, it's an all-volunteer force. But notice something else. God gives you a choice in all of those things. Once you get saved, you have the certainty of heaven as sure as if you're already there. And Peter tells us this, that it is as if we are almost already there, amen, the certainty of his salvation. Paul writes similar words to that. But here's the question I have for you. Our trip to heaven is a certainty, as if we're already there. But understand this, well, how are you going to get there? You're going to go coach, you're going to fly first class. That is what's up to you. How are you going to get there, coach or first class? Are you going to take the high road, or are you going to take the low road? It depends upon what choices you make in this life, voluntary choices. You know, our concept of cross-bearing really is unscriptural for most independent fundamental Baptists, as people trying to get into heaven by their own efforts. And we think that cross-bearing as born-again believers is suffering from some unforeseen tragedy. And so maybe take, for instance, there's a young widow who has several small children. She's now saddled with the care of taking care of all those children without a husband to provide for. And we say, oh man, boy, she has a cross to bear. I think about a promising young musician who suddenly goes deaf. Or how about an artist at the height of his career who suddenly goes blind? How about a star athlete who's told by the doctor that he has an inoperable brain tumor and realizes that not only his career over, but his life very soon is going to end? And we look at them, and then we look at them, and we think this, and we say that. That's just the cross that they're going to have to bear. And to that I say this, that is not true.
That's not cross-bearing. That's not cross-bearing because none of their circumstances was of their own choosing. If they could, the widow would have asked God to give her husband back. The musician would be able to hear the music again. The artist would be able to live in a world of sight and create beautiful artwork. The athlete would go to the ends of the world if somehow his brain tumor could be removed and he could live and have a great athletics for the rest of his life. But what all these people are experiencing is sad. It is. It's tragic, and it is. And it's hard, and it's even burdensome. But understand this evening, that is not cross-bearing. Because cross-bearing, get this now, write this down, is always voluntary. Cross-bearing is always voluntary. It's a choice. You see, the widow had no choice in her husband dying. The musician had no choice in him not to be able to hear. The artist had no choice in going blind. The athlete had no choice in understanding they had a brain tumor and he was going to die in just a few short days. Don't be misunderstood by what I'm preaching to you about today. The cross you choose may well involve suffering. The cross you choose may involve ridicule. The cross you choose may involve hardship. But it will be, understand this, a cross of your own choosing. Remember the story of Simon of Cyrene, who the Bible said was compelled to carry the cross for Jesus Christ. Understand this evening that you and I will never be compelled to carry the cross of Jesus Christ as Simon of Cyrene was, because it's a choice that you and I have to make. And so the question that comes to my mind is, why don't people choose to carry the cross and follow Jesus Christ? Well, the answer is very simple. Most people make choices based on principles of comfort and carry them out to their level of convenience. And that's why they're not willing to deny themselves and carry the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, that's an effort to have religion without sacrifice, and to enjoy a faith without the hardships of serving Christ. Understand this evening, that cannot be, because life isn't just like that. Understand that first word is personal. The second word is voluntary. Then notice lastly tonight, and then we'll be done. There's one more word that we have to consider, and that word is death. When I speak of death, I speak of someone as receiving a lethal injection resulting in death. The cross is personal. The cross is voluntary. But understand this as well, the cross is lethal. So in other words, the cross always ends in death. That's what happened to Jesus Christ. The end of his cross at Calvary was his death. Ultimately, we understand and know that he rose again 3 days later. But understand this, that God wants us to do the same thing tonight. This is where carrying the cross becomes infinitely more difficult and why people reject this verse in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 24. You see, no one wants to die. And I'm not speaking about a physical death, because that's not the kind of death Jesus had in mind here. Jesus is speaking about death to self. He's saying, die to self, me, myself, and I. He's saying, die to your own ambitions, your own thoughts. He's talking about the death of your own desires, the death of everything that originates with me, myself, and I. You see, if you'll take the time to study Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8, you'll see that the Apostle Paul struggled between that which was good and that which was evil. And his struggle was between what he wanted to do and what God wanted him to do. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't have a problem in that area. But I'm here to submit to you today that this pastor sometimes has a problem in that area. What I want to do and what God would have me to do. I need to deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that the Apostle Paul considered himself to be dead already. As we read through the book of Romans, he says he was dead in trespasses and sins. And then after he received Christ as his Savior, in 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul, in a different context, but uses these words, he said, I die daily. You see, the cross involves a voluntary willingness to say no to yourself. It involves a voluntary willingness to say no to yourself and say yes to Jesus Christ. I want to close with this illustration. It was a wealthy graduate who chose to live a frugal life in a single room. He cooked his own meals. Not one time did he ever go out to eat. And as a result, he was able to save and eventually give $2 million to grace-giving missions before his death. And in explanation of his choice, he wrote these words, "Gladly will I make the floor my bed, a box my chair, and another box my table, rather that men should perish for the want of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Savior." I'm not suggesting here tonight that all of us here at Charon Baptist Church are called upon to forfeit all the comforts of our life. But I am suggesting simply is this, that when God calls you to obey in a life of sacrifice, you be willing to leave all and follow Him. Carrying the cross of Jesus Christ involves something personal. It involves something that you have volunteered for and involves death. Will you die to yourself? I wonder how many tonight would be willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. If you want to be a great Christian, if you want to have a great church here at Charon Baptist Church, that is what it's going to take. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. It's personal, it's voluntary, and it involves death. Father, we come before You this evening with this simple message, but yet with great truth. Father, I pray that You would speak to the hearts of Your people. Oh, Father, help them to understand the significance of this verse. If any man will come after Me, let him take himself and deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Father, I pray for someone that could be here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray, Father, and ask that You would help them to understand that the first step that they need to take is this step of not taking up their cross, but falling at the feet of the cross and trusting in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Oh God, would You have Your will and way during this time of invitation? And as our pianist begins to play, oh Father, would You speak to the hearts of Your people? Move in a very unusual way this evening, Lord, that You might receive honor and glory. We stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. Jesus said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." I wonder how many would say, "Pastor, that's what I want to do. I want to do that." If you're here today and that's what you want to do, you want to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Me, would you step out and come? I'm standing here in the middle of the auditorium holding this cross. Maybe someone would come and say, "Pastor, I want to shoulder that cross right now for a moment while I pray. Me and my wife want to hold that cross up. We want to bear the cross today. Would you come? Pastor James will help me transfer this cross to your shoulder." And you signify saying, "God, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross. And I want to follow Me." Who would be the first? Say, oh God, help me. Help me deny myself. Help me take up my cross and help me follow You. Maybe someone else wants to come. Lay this cross upon your shoulder as a symbolically as saying, "God, I'm going to take up this cross." Someone's here. Don't worry. Stand. Wait. Jesus said, "Take up this cross, deny yourself. Who would be willing to do that this evening? Who would be willing to come and make the cross personal to them? Who would come and say, I'm volunteering, Pastor. I'm volunteering. Understanding that it's personal, it's voluntary, and it's death. Who would be the next one that would step out and come? Say, Pastor, I want to bear the burden of the cross for just a moment. Symbolically thinking about me carrying this cross as I leave these doors and go out into a lost and dying world. Who would be next? Who would say, Pastor, I want to carry this cross. Come, maybe husband and wife want to come together. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's personal. You have to make the decision. Take up your cross is voluntary. Nobody's going to make you do it. And lastly, it involves death, you dying to yourself. Who would be next? Who would be next and say, I want to bear the cross? While these are praying,